Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Lani Ka'a'a.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does God take a couple with roots in Hawaii, now living in the Pacific Northwest, to reach urban student athletes in the inner city of Seattle? Now, this is the story of David and Holly Hughes. David was a running back for the Seattle Seahawks on the team that made it to the NFL playoffs for the first time in franchise history in 1983. As Hawaii Football All-State Back of the Year in 1976 for Kamehameha, he started at fullback all 4 years at Boise State, where he was all Big Sky Conference and All-American. God got a hold of his heart and life as he did Holly's, and that's why we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to bring you, dear friend, closer and closer to Christ, just as Christ has touched and brought hope and new life to David and Holly Hughes. He is here to bring hope and new life for you today. He who died on the cross for your sins because he loves you so much. He who shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He who was buried and 3 days later he rose again from the grave. The living Christ who calls you today. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, there's always hope in Jesus. So would you turn to him? Would you open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected one? That's our prayer today. That's our hope in him. If you're walking with the Lord, well, it's our prayer that you would be encouraged. We believe you will today. David and Holly Hughes were both raised in Hawaii. David Hughes is the president and founding director of Paraclete 46. It's a ministry to urban student athletes and their families. He served as mission pastor at Antioch Bible Church and business owner following his career with the Seattle Seahawks and Pittsburgh Steelers. Holly Hughes danced hula professionally while David played in the NFL. Their children are Lahela, Kela, Keone, Kaniela, and Kepa. This is a pre-recorded interview with David and Holly. We'll be back, Lani Ka'a and I, with a few thoughts before our break. Here's David and Holly Hughes. David and Holly, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
David, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Kailua, on the other side of the island, and lived in Enchanted Lakes for a few years and then moved up to Ka'elupulu and then took off to the mainland.
How about you, Holly?
Well, I was born in Kailua, and shortly after I was born, within a year, we were off to Okinawa for several years. My father was in the military, so we spent quite a bit of time on the road. And came back the summer before I started 7th grade, and then I was here.
Mention Okinawa. Yeah. What part of Okinawa did you live or grow up?
First time, we were in Oyama, and we were there for, I think, 4 or 5 years, Mashinato area. We took off back to the mainland, to Cali for a year, North Carolina for 2 years, then back to Oki, and we were in the Sukaran area for 4 more years.
Yeah. Were you, was your dad in the Marines?
My father was in the Army, and he was Special Forces for 32 okay. years. Yeah. Hmm. Our kids called him Grambo.
Wow. And then And it's true.
It is true.
And it's true.
It is.
I still remember the Ballad of the Green Beret. Yeah. Fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. These are men, the Green Beret.
That's right. We were just cleaning out some stuff from my mom's closet, and I found that cassette.
Oh, I love it. So, David, you mentioned that you you kind of skipped a big part when you said you moved away.
Mm.
Kailua, and then moved away. Tell us about your influences. Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Oh, my father, definitely my father. He was a police officer. He was there for us. He was our coach. He was our JPO leader. He was pretty much everything for us. Yeah. My mom, on the other hand, she was raised in a home that was broken, and her parents divorced when she was two. And then both parents remarried, and those marriages failed, and so she was caught in some very difficult situations from an early age. So she ended up running away from home to go stay with her grandmother many times. But what my mother taught me wasn't what she said, is how she lived her life. She was a survivor, and she just did the next thing. Because when my father died, when I was in sixth grade, we were all young. She just did what she needed to do, and to take care of the family, keep the family together. So that was the thing I picked up from my mom. My dad was just—he was awesome.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So what were you? About 11, 12 years old?
I was 11. Yeah.
11.
Yeah, Easter Sunday, 1971. I think it was April 11th. Yeah, we were looking for Easter eggs when we got the phone call. Yeah, at my grandparents' house in Hola. Yeah, and then they whisked us away and took us into town, and yeah, it was rough.
How did it impact you? Your dad's passing.
Tremendous.
At such a young age.
Tremendous. Yeah. It not only his the impact of losing him, but how the dominoes played out after that. Because my dad didn't want my mom working. So with his passing, she had to get a job. So she went to work for the bowling alley because she was in leagues. And bowled in the leagues, and so after that, she'd go to night school to further her education. They married the summer they graduated from high school, so and then 9 months later, had my oldest sister, and then 4 years from that, had four kids. So they were young. They were young, started young, and so we became latchkey kids. We were on our own. Everything that was normal was no longer normal. The house we lived in, we moved from that summer. And, we had to learn how to, we grew up. And sometimes it was dysfunctional. In fact, a lot of times it was dysfunctional, but you had to do what you had to do. And whatever you needed to do to cope with it, you just did. There was no counseling back then.
Hmm.
You had to figure out life.
And so, Ho'ula was no more.
And Ho'ula was no more. Yeah, we went to my grandparents' house every weekend. And pretty much every weekend from the time I can remember. And so it'd be my dad's two older sisters and their family. So there were 12 cousins. And then my grandmother's brother bought the property next door. So there were 10 cousins on that side. So pretty much two weekends a month, you'd have 22 cousins running around, getting in fights and having fun, and you know what cousins do. So it was a blast. That, you know, we didn't have much, but we thought we had everything because we had family.
Finality, Lonnie, mm-hmm. The finality of losing a parent, one who you adored, one who was your hero. What an impact mm-hmm. this had on David Hughes. Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to hear, for us to hear what God did in his life. How does your heart move when you listen to him?
You know, it's inspiring because there are many ways he could have gone. There are many choices he could have made that his life would be tremendously different today. God must have had his hand on him, you know, from the beginning of time, I know, but people that cared about him and right opportunities that came along that God presented and good choices. Because many other kids that have that same story haven't turned out the same. And so it's inspiring to know that, you know, even in the midst of childhood tragedy, there is an opportunity for great outcomes, good success. And I hope that inspires those that are listening that might be facing the same.
Sports played a very big part. Mm-hmm. Of course, the sport of football, he ran track. But sports played a big part. Something his father got him into was coaching. And mm-hmm. He will share when we come back. You'll hear David Hughes share what the void, the vacuum of losing his father at such a tender age did to him, and how the sport of football became a significant part of his life, actually became so significant leading to the NFL. But you'll hear his story and what all happened on the inside. David and Holly Hughes, it's a very special moment that we had with them. Tender, heart to heart with you, dear one. Keep your heart open. What God has to say through the Hughes. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Their ministry is called Paraclete 46. Paraclete 46. It's a ministry to urban student athletes and their families. I'm talking about David and Holly Hughes. You can find out more about Paraclete 46. And that's the number 46, paraclete46.org. You look at the colors, there's Seattle Seahawks colors, David's number 46. Well, if you look back 1976 and the newspaper, you would have seen David Hughes back of the year, the All-State football team. Lonnie Ka'a and I were privileged to talk with David and Holly. This goes back now before the Seattle Seahawks, before the Pittsburgh Steelers. It goes back to childhood. This is, a very sensitive time, but a time that I think God will use to stir up and touch your heart in a profound way. Open your heart. Here's more with David and Holly Hughes.
Having fun, and, you know, what cousins do. So it was a blast. That, you know, we didn't have much, but we thought we had everything because we had family.
The name David Hughes, mentioned the name David Hughes in Hawaii. Then you are among the pantheon of football royalty in the islands. I can only imagine, even with the Seahawks, with all the success that the Seahawks have experienced in recent times. I mean, you were there doing some very special moments. Thinking about Jim Zorn and mm-hmm. Largent and mm-hmm. And there David Hughes. Mm-hmm. So take us back. You mentioned your dad coached you. How did your football career continue to develop?
Well, I was a better baseball player early on. But after my father's death, I had a lot of anger inside of me. And baseball just wasn't cutting it. So I didn't play baseball anymore. And I went to go paddling and... But then football started to rise up, and because, you know, you can get rid of that anger, rage inside of you and not get in trouble. If you did that on the streets, you'd get in trouble, right? And father was a policeman. I don't want to get in trouble. So, you know, I just saw that as an opportunity to go. And I was looking forward to graduating from Kamehameha and going to the military because we had ROTC, and that looked like a good thing for a mad guy. So go to war. But then I had this opportunity to go to Boise State and a couple of other colleges, and Boise seemed to be a good fit for me. And so it worked out well. Yeah.
How did you become a Christian?
Well, the seeds were... rooted, I believe, even back in when I was raised in the Catholic Church, I knew of the Trinity, I knew of Jesus, but I just didn't know of that relationship with him. And then when I got accepted into Kamehameha, and then I heard at Ekalasia that that Jesus is the way, then you know, I just kind of made an emotional decision. I probably accepted the Lord every Sunday. I mean, every Monday morning at Kamehameha for many years. but what God was doing, he was calling me. And it took me a while. I'm a slow learner. Same thing happened in college. And then my fifth year in the NFL is when it actually happened. And... my wife and I, the Lord started drawing us together. And the same night we got saved, October 17, 1985, through a Bible study that the team was going through. Yeah.
What about your rage?
Oh, that's...
After, I'm just thinking, because you fueled, the rage fueled your athletic prowess. You're on the football field, right? Mm-hmm. So how, as an NFL athlete, do you... Did the rage go away, or... what happened?
Well, you know, after we accepted the Lord, there wasn't anything like, you know, light shining or, you know, anything happening. It was just... We just felt a little different, you know. So I'd go to practice, and but that following week we had a Monday night game against the Raiders. And you know, back in the day, the Raiders were good. You know, people used to call them dirty. I just said they were competitive. They knew how to play the game, and so I loved playing against the Raiders because you gotta up your game. So, my normal practice was that I would leave right after pregame meal with this trainer. So I was always the first guy in the locker room. I get taped up, and then I'd grab my playbook, and then I'd walk up and down the sidelines, and I'd go over all my mental notes. You know, there's different things that a defense does in certain segments of the field. Sometimes they'll blitz, you know, safety in the middle of the field, or they have a linebacker blitz in the positive or negative red zones. And so, I mean, you go through all these things and you see it and you just do it. And then, so while I do this in my normal practice, I don't have to worry because this rage would just come to the top. And, you know, I was never nervous before games. I just wanted to go hit somebody. There wasn't any nervousness. There was no fear. It was just, you know, who's the first guy that's going to get hit? So I'm going up and down the sidelines, and this rage isn't coming. And there's nothing going on. And I'm like, whoa, this is kind of a weird feeling. And actually, I said to myself, I said, I better start praying. So I started praying. And I told the Lord at the end of the prayer, I said, Lord, if something doesn't change, somebody's going to get hurt. It's probably going to be me. Because I knew how I was just ready to play. But I was ready to play mentally, but I had no emotions in me. There was nothing going on. God had completely healed me from my anger. Yeah.
Well, Lonnie, we're not finished. We got to come back because, I mean, that's like a hook. He hooked us. That's a literary literary hook. He got us on the edge of our seats. But, Holly, how did you meet?
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's see. I was hanging out with David's sister after we all had graduated from high school, and we were...
So yeah. Back from Okinawa?
Oh, yes. We had graduated from high school already. Mm-hmm. And his sister and I had become friends. So we were at the beach, and we came back to go swimming in their pool. And, you know, we'd come from body surfing, so I had my awesome-looking one-piece on. And we were acting super goofy in the pool. We were just talking about this with her. And David came walking out, and I thought it was her boyfriend. And I thought, wow, look at her boyfriend. So the other girl in the pool with us got out and greeted him with a kiss. She got out, greeted him with a kiss. And so I got out and I said, oh, hi, I'm Holly. His sister said, oh, you never met my brother, David? And I thought, if I knew you had a brother look like that, I would have been your best friend in high school. So that's really how we met. And it went on from there. So, yeah.
So I'm kind of just... I'm thinking about the pool. I'm thinking about meeting David Hughes, and so
I didn't know who. I didn't know who he was.
That might have been good, huh?
Yeah, she it
didn't
was.
Know. It kind of disarming, right?
In some ways. Probably was.
Yeah, well, probably was because I mean, I loved watching football, but I went to Kailua High School, so I went to our high school football games. I'd watch Sunday football games with my dad and my brother all the time. So I loved watching football. I didn't even know he played football when I met him. You know, and his sister had told me after he went back from you were on Christmas break.
Yeah, Christmas break.
So he went back, and in March she said, you know, there was a thing. I could feel it. He could feel it. But, you know, to be honest, I mean, this is a Christian radio station, so for being honest, right? I was not the best girl in high school. And because of the Catholic upbringing I had, I knew I was a sinner. It's like there was no two bones about that. And when I looked at David, it's the oddest thing I'll never forget. I looked and I thought, that's what I waited for my whole life. And I blew it. I have no more chance.
Well, as we know, Lonnie, there was more to the story than just that. There was more chance. when you hear David talk about how his anger was taken away, or maybe going forward to how Holly and David met, fast forwarding to where they are today, do you think God works and reveals things to people throughout their lives and their experiences that enable them to explain or describe their perspective looking back?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're...
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, I think when I hear his talk about the rage and the rage coming from that sixth grade experience, that's a long time to live with rage and not deal with it. And yet, you know, I think of the word, and I think how God used Pharaoh by hardening his heart. God uses everything and everyone to, you know, to bring his plan to fruition. And I look at the length of time that David held that rage, and, you know, I think, gosh, God might have hardened his heart for long enough to get him to be an NFL football player with a story and the ability to lead others just by being able to say, I'm a former NFL football player and I've dealt with this, and here's my story of redemption. And now he's using it for God's glory and changing young people's lives because of it. And I God is just amazing. Just his plan and his timing and his ongoing love, mercy, protection of us. It's just so evident in David Hugh's life.
Well, David would boast of his relationship with Christ, really boasting of the freedom, power, and victory that he's found in life due to that relationship. You know, David and Holly, as he mentioned, they received Christ on the same day. And it was after a few years of studying the Bible that it came to that moment. Dear friend, when we come back from our break, more from David and Holly Hughes, you can find out more about their ministry, paraclete46.org. Paraclete. PARACLETE, number 46.org. Paraclete, it's like that Greek word, paraclete, that speaks about someone coming alongside. The Spirit of God, Jesus says, is the paraclete. He comes alongside. Well, David and Holly are coming alongside in these urban situations. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there, Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So it was in 2013 that the Lord called David and Holly Hughes to begin a new ministry. That's the ministry Paraclete 46, which focuses on encouraging and equipping athletes in the inner city of Seattle. There's number 46, Seattle Seahawks, David Hughes, coming alongside. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Lani Ka'a. This is a pre-recorded interview with David and Holly Hughes. Let's listen in. Open your heart to what God has to say.
Because of the Catholic upbringing I had, I knew I was a sinner. It's like there was no two bones about that. And when I looked at David, it's the oddest thing I'll never forget. I looked and I thought, that's what I waited for my whole life, and I blew it. I have no more chance. So the fact that he ever even asked me out, I was just like, what? You know? And I still didn't know he was a football player. So in March, his sister did tell me, my brother got injured at the alumni game. And I'm thinking, I thought he was still in college. I didn't know that. What? She said, the alumni come back and play the game with the Currents. He got injured. I went, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. What happened? She was, something to his ankle, but he wants to talk to you. What? This was back in the day where he had to, you know, use a landline, call long distance, pay big money. So we go to her house and we call. And we talked for 20 minutes straight. And, you know, back in those days, that's a long time to talk to somebody. And so as we're talking, we're getting to know that, oh, what? Your brother went to Damien? Oh, my cousin went to Damien. Oh, yeah, my cousin's, you know, this person. He goes, what? We were at his graduation party. I said, what? I was at the graduation party. In fact, my cousin and I kept taking all the beer and the poop was up to the boys so we could check the boys out. And he was there. I didn't see him. So God's timing, yeah, again. I just think how much grace was in all of that. You know, and I told him about the times that I tested for Kamehameha. And back in that day, it was lottery, and I never got drawn. So, bummer, I never made it. And he's like, yeah, if you'd come to Kamehameha, we wouldn't be married. Mm-hmm. So, God's grace. Yeah.
So, David, you're pacing up and down the sideline. And the rage is in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you pray.
Mm-hmm.
If something doesn't happen,
mm-hmm.
someone's going to get hurt, and it's probably going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
Were you praying for rage?
No. I wanted something. But I didn't want rage. That rage, that was my best friend for years. And one of the best friends that you don't want to be your best friend. Because it takes you places you don't want to go.
Why? Someone may be wondering, because rage is their best friend. Mm-hmm. Right? Rage is, it's who they are. And why? Why do you say that? That you don't want it? It takes you places you don't want to go.
It makes you do stuff you don't, you know is not right. It has a hold of you that it's hard to let go. You know, it becomes your best friend, even though he's your worst enemy. And you kind of know he's your worst enemy, but it still feels good because that's what you're familiar with.
How does that tie? Explain how the connection is with your dad's passing. Mm. At 11, you're being 11 years yeah. old, to this rage that grew in you.
I just didn't know what to do with his passing. I mean, he was there and then he wasn't. It was so sudden. He had been in the hospital for a few days. He went in on Good Friday and he died Easter Sunday. And he'd been sick in bed at the house for probably 4 or 5 days before that. And then all of a sudden, you know, we just thought he was sick. But he's gone now. And the sad thing is that I had a couple of dreams a few months before that my father died. I woke up crying and like, what is this all about? You know, it just was kind of bizarre for an 11-year-old mind to comprehend. And literally when I was when we were looking for Easter eggs, I actually stopped. I had this feeling come over me. It says, stop. And I'm a pretty competitive person. And I stopped looking for eggs and I turned back around to look at my family, my mom and grandma and grandpa and aunties and uncles. And right when I turned around, the phone rang. My grandmother goes inside the house, answers the phone, and I knew my father was already dead. I just knew it. And so, so she came down and I knew he was gone. You know, I still see that like it's down. Because, you know, I think God has built me this way. When I love something or someone, it's deep, it's all of me. So when you lose something that's deep in all of you, it's tough. But through that, he helped me to develop character, to push on, to do things in my life that probably I wouldn't have done. You know, I don't think I would have made it to the NFL. I mean, I was a good enough athlete, but I didn't have that drive until after my dad died. When he died, man, my drive just went through the ceiling. I mean, I was doing stuff back in the 70s that, you know, people are now just doing now. You know, we had Blaine Gysin and Radford Park and Kalana Park. We would all train. Radford's father was an engineer. And he gave us these training things. I mean, we'd be running. He'd have a flashlight, and he'd have us running on the beach with boots and, you know, steel-toe boots and weights on and running soft sand. And, I mean, it was dark. He had a flashlight, and we're running after this thing every day, 6 days a week. And he gave me different exercises to work on, and, man, it was phenomenal how he developed each and every one of us. And three of the four of us made it to the NFL. And the only reason why Raffer didn't make it because he tore all three ligaments in college in his knee. So, I mean, it was way before its time. And then Nuu Faaola ended up doing that training at Blaine. So literally 4 out of 5 guys from Hawaii, because of this sand training that Mr. Park came up with, we ended up in the NFL. But, I mean, we beat ourselves. It was brutal. But, you know, when you're driven, you do it, and you don't care. Because you're chasing something, you really don't know where the end's going to be. But you just go.
So we come back to the chasing something, Lonnie. Chasing something, you don't know where it's going to be. As David Hughes says, how many people today are just chasing something? Mm-hmm. Chasing something because of a void or a vacuum inside, a longing. Well, David and Holly Hughes has found this unquenchable thirst quenched through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's beyond reason. It's beyond just rational thinking. This relationship with God through faith in Christ. Well, when we come back from our break, Lonnie, I'm thinking this moment. As you process this time, you're an athlete yourself. Mm-hmm. What goes through your mind?
You know, just he has definitely the sort of the picture of redemption and what God calls all of us to. And I look at his life and I look at, you know, the drive. You know, the drive was there long before Jesus filled the void. And yet the drive that was there before Jesus filled the void, we're going to hear how that drive is now for Jesus' glory and to bring more to know Jesus. And that is really the story that's most exciting about David Hughes' life.
Well, more from David and Holly Hughes when we come back. Paraclete 46. Paraclete 46, the number 46.org. Find out more about their ministry to urban student athletes in Seattle. And to get this program in its entirety as a gift to you, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, listen to it, share the link with a family member or a friend. It's your way of reaching them with the love of Christ. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Danny, so good to hear these stories from David and Holly Hughes. Such great local people doing wonderful things on the West Coast mm-hmm. for Jesus. We've had the pleasure of hearing them talk about growing up in Kailua, getting to know each other, getting married, having children very young, David's life as an athlete, training hard, And also his transparency in talking about his heart loves so deeply, and how hard that was for him when he lost his father in sixth grade, and lost that great love, and turned that into rage, that then propelled him into an NFL career as a great football player out of the state of Hawaii, But then one day he met Jesus in a deep way, and that rage was gone, but not that drive to love completely. And as we listen in again on his story, we'll hear a little bit more about where he's turned that passion and how he has spread that love in Seattle. So let's listen in.
We beat ourselves. It was brutal. But, you know, when you're driven, you do it. And you don't care, because you're chasing something. You really don't know where the end's going to be, but you just go.
So we come back to the sideline before the game.
Mm-hmm.
What did God do in you?
Well, you know, I think it took about a year for me to actually figure that out. Because I was so young. I mean, young, and I was a babe in Christ. So that off season, I was attending Bible studies with our pastor. And so once a week, we'd meet for 3 hours, and we'd just go through scripture, you know, systematically. They were finishing up the book of John, and then took us 4.5 years to get through Genesis. But the year, that off season, things that should have, should have never happened. We had, we had a son born the next year, our oldest son, Keone, and he's a miracle baby. He should have never been born. I mean, he should have never survived, because he was in and out of the hospital. He had respiratory issues. His respiratory rate would be 90 plus for 3 to 5 days, and I mean, he was like a dog panting, and it was rough. I remember I was supposed to go back to, well, I got to get to that point. So that off season, I trained hard, went back to camp, and I knew they weren't going to give me a shot. They, you know, the coach at the time told me, he pulled me aside. He says, "This is the best camp you've ever had." He says, "Keep it up." And so we were off on the side. And that night, when I was going to bed, my roommate goes, "I heard what Chuck told you." I said, "What?" Because nobody was within 10 feet of us. And I said, "Well, we'll see." And the next day, I had about half the practice I should have had. And it continued to decline. And so by the third preseason game, I didn't even play. They had already made up their minds that they were going to let me go. So that's part of the game, you know. So I got picked up by Pittsburgh. So, you know, there's no, all these bad things started happening after I got saved. In the world's eyes, they would be considered bad. But for me, it was awesome, you know, because whatever was happening, I had Christ in my life. I was free. I'm not in this bondage. I'm not in this turmoil within myself because that rage was killing me. It was, oh man, nobody should live with that. And so as I started to grow in the knowledge of Christ, I had to grow in also the living it out, you know, because I felt like we were in this incubator and we were, you know, felt like a fat baby. You know, I got all this food and knowledge, right? But I'm just rolling around here because I haven't exercised my faith. And but that's what we needed. That's what we needed. And so even the Lord did some crazy things during that time. But each of it was to let me know that I needed to let go of what I was hanging on to hang on to Him, mm-hmm. you know.
Honey, talk about the financial blow that we took right after we came.
Yeah, so right after we came to faith in Christ, we found out that the investments our attorney got us into, our first agent, with the tax laws changes, they were all going to be done within 18 months, and it took quicker than that. It was like 12 months later. So we lost that, and because we lost that, we lost some other investments. And so we lost about $250,000 about 18 months after we got saved. And you know what? I was okay. I'm still okay with it. I had a knee injury that actually ended up retiring me when I went to Pittsburgh in 86. And when I was just cutting and I heard three pops almost simultaneously, and I lost strength in my knee, and there was pain. And then all of a sudden, there was a calm that came over me. And he says, just do what I ask you to do, and I'll take care of you. And so that's been my mantra for all these years. People think, you know, we don't do things right and blah, blah, blah. But in my understanding of Scripture, there's still the bottom line of faith. And I've trusted God for my salvation. Why can't I trust Him to keep me alive, to do what He wants me to do? You know, do I have to do all these surveys and all these things? I don't do that stuff. I just say, okay. And He, you know, when you develop a relationship with Him, you know, He talks to you. He talks to you through His word, through His church, through my wife, through circumstances. And so it's a different walk. And some people, even our kids included.
So, Lonnie, when we hear them losing all their resources, it sounds like, I mean, if we look at correlation, he accepts Christ, they accept Christ together, and then knee injury, financial collapse. How do you make sense of that?
Right. I mean, from the world's eyes, it doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense. It's like you've lost all your success. You know, everything you've built your life on has come crashing down according to the world. But, you know, I love when David says, I was fine. You know, I had Jesus. And it's a message that just says, you know, the world has their version of success. And if you see just to that point, it may not last. Nothing lasts but Jesus.
Or three simultaneous pops in his knee.
Right. It's $250,000 that I have basically, you know, beat my body up in order to earn. Really. You know, you could look at it in 100 ways and it doesn't look good. But his eyes look to Jesus, and his eyes saw peace. His eyes saw joy, success, happiness that he had never known.
So, Lonnie, someone today may be puzzled by this inversion of values. Mm-hmm. How can it be? And someone else might also be in a place where they've just had three pops in their knee, figuratively speaking, or lost $250,000 in a shorter time than they realized, mm-hmm. thought they would. A word of encouragement and a mm-hmm. prayer mm-hmm. of what you gleaned from David and Holly Hughes.
Yeah, in any circumstance in life, they are an encouragement that Jesus is the answer, no matter what your circumstance, and that he will provide more than you think you need and things that you don't even know you need. If you will just receive him, accept him into your life and allow him to speak into your life. And even if you know him already, are you allowing him to truly speak into your life? Or do you have one foot in the world and one foot in the word? And I just want to pray for both. Lord God, I thank you so much for the example of David Hughes, the life he's lived, the passion you have given him, and the drive, but also the humility, the obedience, the discipline that you have given him, Lord God. I thank you for that example. I ask, Lord God, that for all of us here who are struggling with letting go of needing to be successful in this world in order that we can be simply at peace and happy with you and with hearing your voice, Lord God, help us all. Have mercy on us all, that we would follow you first and foremost, Lord. Father, help us to be like David in the way that he says, you know, it doesn't make sense for me, but I just follow. Lord God, help us to hear you clearly. Help us to hear you in your word, mm-hmm. in the church, in our spouses, in those around us that you have put around us to speak into our lives. Help us to be open to that, that we might hear your voice every day. Do your will, whether it makes sense or not, but be 100% obedient, and in that find the peace and the happiness that you promise. Lord God, we lift up those who don't know you yet, Lord, that are hearing this and wondering, what do I do to come to know Jesus? Simply, Lord, reach out to them. Father, I pray over their lives that they would lay down their burdens, their weight before you, that you would lift that you would free them from that. Help them to receive you as their personal Savior. Help them to begin that walk and bring people around them, Lord God, that would lead them to you, that would help them in tough times, because they may face them as David did, but help them to continue to walk in your way. Go their way in your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lonnie. Mm-hmm. Heartfelt words from David and Holly Hughes. Paraclete46.org. There's no better time, dear friend, than right now. Even as Lonnie was just sharing, to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a video set up for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers, please do so. And your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. And I thank you in advance. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to David and Holly Hughes. Paraclete46.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Lonnie Ka'a, technical producer Chaz Ontai, web designer Arlen Nagata, and guest coordinator Suzanne Maurer, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.